Hey, friends. Thank you for taking 30 seconds out of listening to our good friends, Isaac and Angie Tolpin. Hi, my name is Aaron Smith, and I, along with my wife, Jennifer, host a weekly podcast called Marriage After God. After you're done being encouraged by our dear friends at Courageous Parenting, we'd love to invite you to check out the Marriage After God podcast, where our desire is to encourage you to grow closer to God and your spouse by sharing with you what God is teaching us in our marriage and by digging deep into God's word. We share intimately and transparently, and we love to go deep into scripture. Thank you again for letting us have a few moments with you. Now, please enjoy the rest of Courageous Parenting podcast, and don't forget to check out the Marriage After God podcast when you're done.
Welcome to Courageous Parenting Podcast, a weekly show to equip parents with biblical truth on raising confident Christian kids in an uncertain world.
Hi, I'm Angie from Courageous Mom.
And I'm Isaac from Resolute Mam.
We've been married for 21 years and have seen the fruit from raising our 8 kids biblically based on the raw truth found in the Bible.
We can no longer let the culture win the hearts of children. Too many children from Christian families are walking away from their faith by age 18. And it doesn't have to be this way. It shouldn't be this way. Join us as we start an important conversation about effective parenting in the fallen world. Hey, welcome back to the podcast, everyone.
Hi, guys.
We have an interesting topic. We having a baby in our 40s.
Yeah, so when we were talking about this and what potential podcast topic we were going to talk about, Isaac brought up this idea and I went, oh, man, here we go. I feel like Sarah, can we put that as a bullet point?
Hey, but, you know, we have this amazing baby, Xander. He's 10 months now, right?
Yeah. Gone by really fast.
Really fast. So approaching 1 year's 1 year. And I'm 46 and you are?
42.
So anyways, we're not young, but we're not old either.
That's right. It's true, obviously.
Yeah. It feels like it sometimes though. And it is definitely different in some really awesome ways and some challenging ways having a child, a young child, when we're this age.
That's right. So we thought that we would just share with you guys some of what we have experienced and what we've been learning during this season. Our heart and hope is that it would be an encouragement to you guys. Isaac was asking me what I had learned, and I was like, basically the same things I've been learning the last 22 years. I'm just more tired now.
But they're fresh on her mind, on our mind. Yes. Because we have a baby. So we can speak to having babies, having
toddlers,
having middle schoolers, having teenagers, having adults that have launched.
That's right.
Quite interesting.
We have kids in every season.
At the same
life.
Time.
All at the same time. And we're about to be grandparents. There's that too.
Which is awesome. We feel so blessed. It is really cool. It is definitely amazing. I absolutely love my life. And
we wouldn't change it any other way.
It's amazing. And it's hard. It's not easy. Like, but you know what? Isn't that true about anything? Mm-hmm. Anything worthy, anything good is not easy. If the great things were easy, it just doesn't work that way.
Right.
So we're going to dive in.
You don't get the fruit without actually working hard to plant something.
Yeah. Now, we recognize God has a unique plan for every family, family size and all those things. That's mm-hmm.
That's
spouses
between you and God.
To work on and between you and God. And, you know, we're not the kind of people that believe everything has to look like how it's worked out for us. In fact, we never set out to have a big family. We do know how that happens. Yes. but we didn't, what I mean by that is, you know, that's a whole nother story, but we don't come from big families. And really, you know, I got used to being around kids when I had my own. So
meaning that who was the first baby you ever held?
Yeah. So
it was our baby, right? And so, you know, for Isaac and I, this life that we are living is truly for us an example of what surrendering to God, a process of surrendering to God looks like in our life. Because it wasn't how it looks is not how we ever dreamed it would look, it's far better. And that all the credit and glory goes to the Lord alone on that one.
Amen. So we have two really important tips for you. And one of them has to do with practical knowledge around having a baby in the house. And so I think everybody will find it interesting, though, as we share through this. We definitely appreciate you guys being along the journey with us. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you've been around a while or from the beginning, we sure appreciate your support. CourageousParenting.com has got all the goods. And there's an app, Be Courageous. It's $8.99 a month, and it's well worth it. Over 600 biblically minded Christians, parents mostly, who are iron sharpens iron, encouraging, spurring right. each other on. There's a kids podcast and lots of great stuff there. But and it supports the ministry and obviously courses at CourageousParenting.com and so forth. But let's dive in.
So we have a scripture that we want to share with you guys in Psalm 128, verse 3. It says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, and your children will be like olive shoots around your table.
I love that. Big old table, like olive shoots. And it's great. I mean, I love having family meetings because we all come together and
we're all sitting around the table.
We're all sitting around the table like olive shoots. It's fruitful. It's like we're all talking to
each It is our most fruitful on. Time in our family for sure. And I know that we get a lot of people asking questions about how we do our family time. We've done a podcast on that, and we teach more in depth on family discipleship in the Parenting Mentor Program in the session that's labeled discipleship. So if you're interested in that, just go to CourageousParenting.com. But when we have these meetings, our younger kids have all grown up being a part of them. So having a baby in the house, Xander, yes, he's at the meeting with us. He's either sitting on my lap. Very rarely is he sitting on someone else's lap. Usually he's on mine. Or now he's in the high chair with us as well. A lot of times we'll be eating breakfast. Here's a little tip for if you're doing family meeting time with littles. If you feed them while you're doing the meeting time, they're going to be more quiet, actually, which makes it easier for mom and dad to teach. And so that's something that we start with our kids from a young age. And so they're really used to it because it's all they've ever known. It's not really a struggle. That's just a common question that we get a lot of the time. And I think that we probably wouldn't get asked that question if it wasn't for the fact that we had little kids in the home still.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because people see it and they ask. They're like, they sit at the table. They're at the meeting time. And do you ever teach? Here's a question for you, Isaac. When you have little kids, toddlers and babies, or even like 4 or 5 year olds, do you bop around certain scriptures that are more intense?
I don't. But definitely young kids are selectively listening anyways, in and out. And if they don't understand a word, I will purposely not make it more clear to them, and the older kids will know what it means. Or if I do want it to be clear, I'll then define it more. Right. And so you can definitely always go through scripture, but you can accentuate certain things and make sure everybody knows it. Or, you know, sometimes the little kids don't catch on to it, and that's good. In fact, because maybe they're not quite ready for that, but definitely I try to keep it age appropriate, but at the same time, making sure the olders don't miss anything. And I just think God gave us the Bible. We're not going to skip anything. We went through the entire book of Romans, for example, if that tells you something.
Yeah.
So
just read the first 2 chapters. You'll know what he's referring
to. So we went through everything in Romans and lots of books. We've made it halfway through Revelations. We're halfway through Acts right now. I took a break from Revelations because if you just nonstop go through Revelations,
it can be heavy.
It's just a little heavy. So we're on a little break on that in Acts, and then we'll go back to Revelations. Yeah. So that's kind of on that. But having a baby in our 40s, definitely our first main point for you is we definitely have more wisdom. So that's a plus about having kids, but we have way less energy.
I mean, imagine that comparatively speaking to having babies in our 20s.
Yeah.
That's a given. For sure, that's a given.
I would say one of the things that's been good for me is I'm definitely more focused on kids than I was when I was younger.
That's true.
I'm definitely around more, which is a huge benefit. But it's still the challenge. There's still the challenge of selfishness. And it's a hard one to beat. And I would say I'm more selfless than when I was younger, but I would say that's still an area sometimes I have to work on. Now, one of the things that's interesting too is babies tend to love Angie more than me.
Well, I think that when you are breastfeeding, when you're nursing a baby, obviously there's certain things such as that,
yeah,
that dad can't provide, only mom can. And it is true that, you know, and especially in the first year of life, babies need their mom more.
They do.
And so for us, because I nurse, and I just think that that's partially why we have that happening. But I would say also, as far as being in my 40s goes, I have less energy, but I'm also at a place now where I'm more likely to ask for help than I was. I've been humbled a lot, mm-hmm, over the years, especially regarding my physical strength and what I can actually do. And so I can't, whereas when I was in my 20s, I might just strap a baby on my back and go out and garden, and they'd literally be like a koala bear on my back while I'm gardening on my hands and knees. I used to do that all the time, mm-hmm, with Ethan and Luke and Drew and even Megan. And now it's like, I'll put them in the front carrier, but then I oftentimes am directing people on how to plant things, or I have to put him in the stroller so that I can do it, or have somebody else hold him so I can do it. And so, just because all those years of being pregnant and I have arthritis in my back, I'm getting older and it's just more difficult. And so I think that that has been humbling, because I have to ask other people, mm-hmm, which has turned what I used to think was a motherhood boot camp in selfishness. It's turned it into a family boot camp in selflessness, if you will, because, mm-hmm, they have to stop doing what they're doing to help me so that I can do something that benefits the whole family, like making dinner.
One thing that's good, but can be also frustrating, is the good part of it is a baby slows everything down.
Yeah.
That's actually really good, because today things move so fast. And if we have the ability, we tend to fill the time. So what is good for our family, I think it's been really good that there's kind of always been a baby around. There was one little pocket of three, yeah, or 4 years where there wasn't. But
Right. In between Ethan and Solomon, we have almost 6 years.
Yeah. So other than that, mm-hmm, there's been a baby around, and it's been really healthy, really good getting people off of themselves, yeah, and focused on the family and helping and these, yeah, kinds of things. That's been really good. On the flip side of it is it can be frustrating sometimes.
Right.
Yeah, right. It can just be frustrating because we're trying to, you know, the deal.
It just takes a
baby,
a little longer.
Just takes longer. And we have to
pull over to feed the baby.
And we just, yeah, have to be a little less strict on our timetable of the day. We have to be flexible. And that's a blessing. That's a good thing, too, is learning
to
that
learn
flexibility.
I would say that that's probably, for my personality type, too, just one of the most sanctifying lessons that I've had to learn over and over again is how to let go of my to-dos and be flexible for how the day goes. Not that I'm not structured. I'm extremely structured. And I think that that's one of the benefits too. When I look back at what some of the benefits are in having a baby in your family for many years, it does structure your life on a certain level, like as far as having certain nap times and eating meals at certain times of the day and having quiet time. And when you have little kids, you need to have those routines in place. And so having those routines in place brings a familiarity and a structure to your home, but it also brings you back home. You know what I mean? And so, you know, while we try not to be super, super strict and never go do things during that time, because we do have older kids and the little kids sometimes have to be able to handle not having a nap, right? If, yeah, there's something going on with the big kids. And that's where there's a give and a take in a family. And I think that that's a good thing for kids to learn as much as it is for us. It's just been, it's been a very long boot camp in that sense of having babies for 22 years. And I think that one of the things that I get asked a lot is, this is really hard for me. Did you ever get past that? Did you ever get to a point where that didn't bother you anymore? I get that question a lot from moms. And you know what? No. And I hope that that's not discouraging to you. I actually hope that it's encouraging to you, because I'm not perfect. But there's always something that we can grow in. And as far as being patient and letting go of the things that maybe are on your schedule of what you want to get done, maybe I get half of them done. And then I have to reconcile that between me and God at the end of the day and give it to Him and be okay with it. Otherwise, I can't sleep. And so I still have those things, you know, and it's good to recognize the good that it has created in your life, to reflect on that.
Another positive is we have older kids that are helpful. So, you know, that's a great positive. So we have less energy, but there are more hands willing to help and those kinds of things, which is great. You know, it's interesting. Just to kind of show where my selfishness used to be, I remember thinking we were going to have two kids, and I had already kind of figured out how old I would be when we were empty nesters. Mm-hmm. And so I figured out that number. What would that number have been? That would have been,
well, think about it.
18 years ago.
We would be empty nesters now.
We'd be empty nesters right now at 46.
Which makes sense because we're about to be grandparents.
Yeah. And I'm so glad God had different plans and I paid attention to those plans.
Yeah.
And it's not my own selfishness. Because in my case, that would have been the case. And now we're going to be 64 as it looks right now. I'll be 64.
Well, if Xander moves out when he's 18, you'll be 64. Yeah.
So anyways, but now God has just done a work in me and I'm like, okay, who cares? I just have to stay healthy. So I'm around.
Right. And not just healthy so you're around, but healthy so that we can be active with them. And I think that, you know, our kids have actually kept us going. Like I think sometimes people think about all of the negative things that come with, you know, oh, when you're pregnant and oh, the stretch marks and oh, the pains and and they think of it as if it's an ailment, but it's not an ailment. It's a thing that God designed, a beautiful thing that God designed mm-hmm. our bodies to be able to do. And if we are still able to be doing that, even in our older age, that should remind us of our youth, actually, the fact that we can still procreate, that there's something still working right in our body in that regard, and to rejoice in that and to see that. I do think, too, at the same time, people don't often advertise the benefits that come from having a lot of kids. I'm really thankful that when I go out with my kids, people are confused. Like if I go out with Kelsey and Megan and Xander, people think I'm the grandma. But then they also like look at me confused when they see them. And then they go, wait, are you guys sisters? Like they're completely confused. And I love that because I don't know if you knew this, but a lot of the anti-aging creams out there have progesterone in them.
And where does that come from?
And that hormone is actually released in women when they're pregnant. And so I joke around with people that, you know, having a lot of pregnancies, it's like I've been on my own anti-aging journey just internally for a long time. And I'm starting to get some gray hairs now and some wrinkles, but I actually love them.
Yeah.
I love getting older.
We love getting older and we love our kids and we love having a large family. Mm-hmm. And God had to do a work in us incrementally.
Yeah.
1 year at a time. And that's kind of our approach to it.
You know, it's interesting. When I start feeling sorry for myself about like things that are easy to take for granted. So I'm just going to talk about nursing for a brief second. So guys who are like listening, this is not a big deal to you, I hope. But I've been nursing for over 12 years of my life. That's a long time to be feeding a baby. Mm-hmm. And it definitely, like, if you think about the selflessness that comes with that, that's been a journey that I have been on every time, whether it's the beginnings of when you are going through that postpartum period and you're trying to teach your baby how to nurse and you're trying to figure it out with them, the pains that come with engorgement and all of that stuff. But then there's also this element of like, we've had the last two babies that we've had a struggle with nursing the first 5 or 6 weeks of their life. And with Eli, it took 3 months to get him back to EBF, which is exclusively breastfeeding. With Xander, it was 7 weeks, 6, 7 weeks. And so we've definitely experienced that. And now my perspective is that I'm so thankful because I've walked through the hardship of it. So now that it's like easier, I don't take it for granted like I used to. And it's the same thing goes for like mastitis. There were many years where I struggled with getting mastitis chronically, like even with our fifth baby at the time, that was Luke. Mm-hmm. I remember getting it almost every week for 40 weeks. And after our second child, I had found out that I was allergic to the antibiotics. Thankfully, I'm so glad that I was, because that's what pushed me to start getting alternative medicine help from naturopathic doctors and learning how to heal naturally from that. And but all this to say, like, it's been a sanctifying journey having to sit down all those hours. If you think about all of the hours in 12 years of your life that you sit nursing, bonding with children, loving them in that way. And it's easy in the midst of those years to have lots of moments where you don't want to do it. You want to get up and you want to get your laundry done and you want to go out to coffee with a friend and you want to just, you don't want to necessarily have people hanging on you or like all the time, right? Because you're constantly got people hanging on you. And that young, like that, I say young motherhood, but I'm not young. It's more like it's just mommyhood, whatever age you are in mommyhood when your kids are little and they call you mommy. It can be hard at times to not want a break at times or to look at your life and go, I want to do more than this. But I just have to say, like, in the moments when you struggle with those things that come easiest, if you really embrace them and you think about it, those are the times that remind you to be thankful when you're not in the struggle. And I think that that's a wisdom that I've learned just even in these last two babies regarding nursing, in addition to being very humbled. I had helped so many women as a doula and postpartum with lactation stuff. And here I was struggling. That was very humbling for me. And at the same time, it was a journey to be able to learn new tricks of the trade, if you will, to where I could help even more moms.
I think some people might find it interesting because sometimes when you see somebody do something, you think things are easier for them, or they're more naturally gifted at something, or, you know, there's just something different. And I just want to, well, some of that might be true, I don't know. But one thing that I do know is that nursing has not been easy for Angie, and all the kids had different situations.
Right. We had many tongue ties.
Many things. Yeah. And it's been good, and you've done it the whole time.
Yep.
But also pregnancy has not been easy.
No, I've had HG, which is like oftentimes vomiting, you know, between 4 and 16 times a day, to where I had been on anti-nausea chemo meds in the past, even just trying to keep it down, and IVs.
We almost lost her with a miscarriage. That was just 6 years ago or something. And so we, you know, on our fourth child, she was in bed rest for months.
There's been lots of different.
It hasn't been easy, but we've just been trusting the Lord each step of the way, and He's given us another child, one at a time. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, one at a time. Yeah, we always joke whenever I get pregnant. Wonder if we get two kids for the effort this time. But nope, we've had one child per pregnancy. So I've been pregnant 11 times. And, you know, the miscarriages also, they give you a different perspective on when you're sick, when you are pregnant, or at least for me, they did, to where I used to be like dreading the morning sickness. And then the first time that I lost a baby, it was when I wasn't experiencing that sickness. And that was because my hormones were not high enough to actually create the nausea and the morning sickness in the same kind of way. And so now when I am sick, I have found myself being thankful even for the sickness, which I never had the first seven kids. I was not thankful.
Something just popped in my head. I remember this feeling vividly of a lot of pressure on me to protect my wife and not have more kids on that fourth child. And I just remember it was really felt like negative. Sixth.
Yeah.
Negative pressure. Was the sixth?
Yeah, it was Ethan.
So it really felt like negative pressure. And I felt like God was prompting us to be open to having another kid. And so sometimes you have to wrestle with what is other people's flesh projected at you, and what is the Spirit prompting you to do?
Right.
And then what is prudent sometimes to protect your wife? Because that is our job too, to protect our wives. And that's a hard thing to navigate. So I feel for you if you've ever had to navigate that, because it's very difficult.
But we've definitely learned and we've grown stronger in the Lord through all of those things, for sure. And I believe that having older children who have walked through those things with us has matured them. We did a podcast, I think it was last week or a few weeks ago, when we talked about how to help your children spiritually mature, right? To grow in maturity. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things that we didn't really talk a lot about, but is very relevant to this topic today, is that our kids actually learn as they are watching us parent little kids. And so that's something that I'm always thinking about, and I get convicted about it too. I usually think about it when I'm messing up. Actually, it's usually when I like am at my wit's end and I'm tired and I've got a toddler crying and a 6-year-old that's sick and a baby that needs to nurse and I'm overwhelmed in that moment. And I think to myself, my 17-year-old daughter's watching me and I just lost my cool or whatever it is, you know, and that is a good accountability. I've often shared on different platforms that, you know, for me, learning that your babies can hear everything when they're in your womb was like the first time that I really experienced having a little accountability partner with me 24/7. Mm-hmm. And I became very aware like, oh, they can hear me. That means I want to play worship music and I want to be leading them in worship. And I want to be careful with my words and careful with how I speak to my husband and careful how I speak to other people. And it was like this accountability partner. But then you fast forward many years and you have that on top of having little ears listening, middle ears listening, older ears listening, and eyes watching, and also going, okay, knowing that they're learning.
Yeah.
And how to parent by how we do it.
So true.
And so there's this element of like accountability that wasn't there when our older kids were the littles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas now it's like all the time.
That is a difference. There's ultimate accountability because they're going to learn more from watching us than anything. Psalm 127:3 and on says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." And I was thinking about even the end of that scripture there is, I've already seen, you know, our kids help us with our enemies. I've already experienced this many times. We've experienced this many times from their prayers, praying for hard situations, for attacks against us, attacks against the ministry. We've seen
speaking truth into our life when we have struggled with wanting to continue on.
Speaking truth to even publicly proclaiming the truth in defense of us or the ministry. And so I just think that we've already experienced this and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's really a neat thing. I don't think that everybody should just have as many kids as they can in as a blanket statement.
Right.
That's, and that scripture can sometimes be used that way. Mm-hmm. That's not why we shared it. I just think it's a beautiful scripture and we've experienced it to be true in our lives. We do believe that children are a blessing. And so we receive them as a blessing. And we've been very open and trusting God to do that. And, you know, it's been a good journey for us.
Yeah. Well, it's been, when you say good, I think of just the journey of all the good that's come out of it, even the hard things, because we've shared multiple times, like in Redeeming Childbirth, I had my first 6 pregnancies and birth testimonies in that book alone. And I share a lot of the hard stuff, right? Like when we were on bed rest and just the different things that people had said to us over the years. I don't know if you knew this, but quite a few times, actually, doctors had tried to convince us to abort our babies, certain babies. Austin, for example, I had an emergency appendectomy when I was pregnant with him, but they didn't know I was pregnant. I didn't know I was pregnant. They did a blood test and that the egg had not actually attached to the membrane yet, so they couldn't detect it in the bloodstream. And so when they found out I was pregnant, they were like, oh, you have to terminate pregnancy. This baby's going to have all kinds of problems because you had had this massive surgery. And of course, we were not going to do that. And now look at him. He's married and amazing young man of God. Yeah. And so like that story alone, which is actually kind of a lengthy story, I saw multiple times where the devil was out to steal, kill, and destroy, where he did not want him alive. But God had a different plan, and it was a matter of us listening to God's plan for his life. And then I even think again with Luke and my back and Ethan with my back. Those were 2 more pregnancies that where the doctors encouraged us to terminate pregnancy one time because they thought I was paralyzed and needed emergency back surgery. And I was 11 weeks along. And of course, again, no, we're not doing that. And we experienced God's hand of mercy upon my body and actually a modern day miracle where I was able to walk again. And it was baffling to the doctors in a good way, where they literally were dumbfounded. And I when you experience God and his sovereignty over your life and your kids' lives in these different ways, your faith is challenged and then it grows. But it's challenged first, and that gives birth to an opportunity for God to be glorified. And without that opportunity, life is just kind of in the hanging balance, right? And so we've chosen through all of the hard things to look for ways to glorify God. And I believe that's one reason why he's entrusted so many children to us. But
yeah, our purpose is to glorify the Father with our lives. Our purpose is to do that. It's not to live for all the things that our self wants, right? What I mean by that is we can conjure up a perfect picture of what we want in our own strength. But really the question is, what does God want? And that has been our journey of surrendering ourselves and what does God want for us? And what he has given us is different than what we imagined, actually.
And
we never
better.
Set out, and it has been better.
That's right. And I would say that, like, as far as the, you know, when I think about having, when I think about having babies in our 40s, one of the things that is so different is that I do actually understand from a firsthand experience how fast the years go by, because I do have a daughter that's almost 22. I do have And my first two kids are both out of the home already and have their lives that they're pursuing and living, and they're doing a great job. And so, like, when you get to that place and you've literally lived that and then you have another baby, you know how fast the years goes. People say that all the time, but, like, I know it because I've lived it. Mm-hmm. And so that day-to-day knowing helps me to actually enjoy the silly, fun little moments even more with Xander. And so I feel like with this baby, I'm in less of a rush. I think that would be like the last thing. If there was one main thing, I've always struggled with wanting to be in the season ahead of where I am. I'll give you an example. I used to call myself an aspiring Titus 2 woman because I desired to be used by God to teach the things that he had been teaching me. But I was also tempted to do that too soon. And I knew it was too soon. I was a mom of one little kid, and I was asked to run a mom's ministry at a big mega church, and I took it on. And then I was too involved in other things, and it was too much for my family. And so I made a choice, and I chose to step away from those things for that season so that I could raise my kids to love the Lord, so that I could do it well, put all my energy into it, so that I would be qualified instead of disqualified later. I had this gut feeling. I'd seen it too many times in ministry where people would be all gung-ho about serving God when they're young, and then they wear their families out, and then their kids don't want to walk with Jesus, and then they're disqualified from ministry. And I didn't want that. So I stepped back. But that's just one example of how I was, like, yearning for the next season far before I was there. Well, now I am there. I would say I definitely am qualified to be a Titus 2 woman. I'm going to be a grandparent. If not now, when would you be qualified to be a Titus 2, right? I've got older children who love the Lord. By qualification of eldership, we are in that season, right? But at the same time, I still have the babies. And so for me, I'm very careful to protect, because I know that in protecting what I need to do in this season of my life while I still have my littles at home, God will bless it. But at the same time, I also see now that I'm in a season where he said he's given me permission to teach.
Yeah. Any final tips on having a baby? Just rapid fire.
Oh, man. I would say for sure this is a team effort. Having conversations before your baby is born with your spouse about how, you know, God used both of you to make this baby, right? And he wants both of you to be actively involved in raising this child from the time they are a baby, and finding ways where you can team together. Because I know that as we've gotten older, I've needed Isaac's help more, which has been probably a challenge for him on the selfishness, selflessness side of things. And
balancing provision.
Right. Yep. But it's been good for us.
Yes.
Actually. Yep. And it's been good for his relationship with the babies as well. And so I just think that there's an element there where you can be God glorifying in having your biblical gender role while you're also still teaming together as a parenting team, even in those little years.
Amen. Well, we hope this was helpful. Little different style of an episode.
That's right. But you have a little insight into our life.
All right.
See you next time.
See you next week.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. For more resources, go to CourageousParenting and CourageousMom.com for free online workshops, blog posts, and best-selling courses. Also, we wanted to quickly tell you about our 6-week online parenting mentor program. Isaac and I created a powerful biblical curriculum. Here's how it works. Each week, we release a video with a downloadable parenting packet to make it easy for you to incorporate those teachings directly into your parenting.
This is an incredible self-paced program where we cover everything from obedience training to overcoming mistakes most Christians are making. But more than that, it's a supportive community. You'll have access to our private online group, live webcasts, and the Courageous Parenting text message line where Angie and I can send you weekly encouragements straight to your phone.
If you're interested in joining our next online parenting mentor program, secure your spot now at CourageousParenting.com. That's CourageousParenting.com.